It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's a good start. I totally forgot what day it was. It is Friday, August 7th, 2020. I'm Shauna. Beckler is away today. He's going to pick up his family. His kids had a little vacation with some family, so he's going to pick them up. In the meantime, I got to see an early morning thunderstorm this morning. You know, there's a lot of things about waking up at 4:30 in the morning that, well, they make you want to die. Then there's this, okay? And this is actually one of those things that I really appreciated. There was lightning right across the sky. It was nice and dark. We see some incredible sunrises at that time as well. It's very peaceful at 4:30 in the morning. Obviously, nobody else is really up. So you kind of have the city to yourself. I always feel like I'd love to go streaking one morning. I know that's a weird thing to want to do, but when we've had these really humid mornings and nobody is around, I was like, I should just go streaking. Not tell anybody about it, just do it, come back to work, and then maybe a few weeks later I'd mention it to one or two people and be like, guess what I did the other morning? I went streaking. You know, there's something about being naked that's amazing. I actually went skinny dipping in my parents' pool when I was away over the weekend as well, and that too feels so good. Okay, things are getting weird. Let's just jump right into things. I have an amazing Terry story to kick things off for you. So here we go.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So Beckler and I have spoke recently about one of my new favorite humans, which is Terry the water skier. He's got a cabin on my parents' lake, and I'm sure you've heard us talking about how he wrapped a rope around a tree and then attached it to the back of his water ski boat to take the tree out. That was his way of removing a tree that he needed to down. Not a chainsaw like a normal human being, but Terry the water skier decided he's going to wrap a rope around it, then tear it out with his water ski boat. Anyway, I told my cousin, who has become best friends with Terry the water skier, they have cabins side by side. I told him to let me know of any other stories I needed to hear of him. So my cousin just sent me a picture of himself and Terry the water skier in a tin fishing boat with a skidoo balanced on the front of the boat. Now, I don't mean the skidoo was lengthwise inside the boat like you'd safely think would be the best way of doing this. I mean it was balanced across the bow of the boat like a T forming with the boat, okay? Like front and back of the skidoo sticking out either side of this fishing boat, and Terry the water skier and my cousin boated across the lake like this, trying to balance the skidoo and praying to God it didn't fall in the lake. I guess Terry didn't want to risk ruining his water ski boat, maneuvering a giant skidoo in it, so they had to go across in the tin fishing boat instead. Terry was like, this is less risky, can't risk the water ski boat, obviously. Holy hell. I guess my cousin said the skidoo was a bit of a fixer-upper. It wasn't worth a whole lot. So he was like, well, worst case scenario, the boat was going to tip and, well, the skidoo would be gone. But we gave it a shot. My God, that is one of the biggest Terry maneuvers I have ever seen. I actually have a picture of it. I'll have to post it for you somewhere. But I'm just envisioning this discussion even happening. Hey, Terry Bear, we need to bring my skidoo across the lake. Well, we're not taking the water ski boat. That's for damn sure. We can try and balance it on the damn fishing boat, okay? We'll take it across the lake that way. Bring a couple beer, it'll be fine.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
I don't know if you've seen this section of Amazon, but it's called the Movers and Shakers. And what it is it shows items with the biggest increase in sales over the past 24 hours. And it's actually kind of fascinating to look at because it tells you what people are all of a sudden panic buying or buying in excess for some reason. And it really kind of describes people's moods right now. I was looking over it yesterday and it was absolutely killing me. Like the top thing, okay, the number one biggest sales increase in clothing in the past 24 hours was a comfortable non-wired bra for women. This makes perfect sense. Women are slowly going back to work and they've really enjoyed not wearing a bra. And now that they have to again, they're like, give me the most comfortable option possible. And all of a sudden, there's a mass sales increase in comfortable women's bras, right? Makes sense. The next one, face mask neck clips. So you know that chain that connects your glasses that old ladies wear around their neck so they can keep their eyeglasses close? You know, they have it hanging and then they just put them on and there's that chain hanging. Yes, somebody has basically taken this and then called them face mask clips, so that you can actually connect the clips at the end to your face mask and have it around your neck so it's easy to put back on and off. Now, first of all, certain masks are disposable, so this doesn't work very well for. But again, a mass sales increase in this because people are now realizing they need a mask close at all times, so they might as well buy that. The next one, a women's waist trimmer belt for women who've put on a couple extra pounds since in quarantine and they need to now go back to work and fit into their professional clothing, obviously. And then for men's clothing, this is hilarious, underpants, Crocs, and sweat shorts. So clearly the guys aren't too concerned about going back to work and looking presentable. Not yet, anyway. And then the last two things are a Trump face mask 3-pack, okay, and a shirt that says it's just a bunch of hocus pocus on it, which is clearly causing an increase from the anti-maskers. Quite fascinating to watch. This is the stuff we're into right now, folks. Crocs, old lady glasses, and waist trimmers.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was laughing with a couple friends over the weekend about treasure trails. Do you know what a treasure trail is by chance? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, the X marks the spot you're actually going hunting for treasure on a trail. I'm talking about the type on your body. It's the hair that leads from your belly button down to your gitch goblin. Okay, it's that hair that kind of leads down there. And when I was growing up, for some reason, there was a very fashionable thing about treasure trails. In fact, in those ridiculous, like the Tiger Beat or the Cosmo magazines, the kind of trash magazines for young girls, they were talking about treasure trails and how sexy it was on a guy. If he has that little tuft of hair. Does that not seem strange to you? Like, why was that sexy? You know, why was that particular little piece of this little tuft of hair, this mysterious little line of hair there that's pointing down toward your gotch gobbler, the thing that everybody's like, oh, no, that is hot. Do you see that? It's like a goatee for your belly button is what it really is. It's very strange to me. But it was a big thing for a long time. Are those still a big thing? Maybe I'm just out of it. Maybe I'm just out of the loop of cool hair features. This was obviously on a guy, also, I should specify. If you're a girl with a treasure trail, I don't think it's quite as hot, although, who am I to judge? A guy may take a look at that and go, oh my god, look at the sexy soul patch on that girl's belly button. Woo! Hot.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Etymology with Shauna.
So I looked up the origin of the word car today, which I know is a bit strange to look up, but I was talking about cars, and then I was like, that's kind of a weird word, like car. You know, in the East Coast, there's the car. It's really punched as well. And I looked it up, and it turns out that car actually originated as chariot. And I had never put that together, but car is kind of a short form of chariot. So chariot originally referred to any wheeled horse-drawn vehicle. That's what a chariot was. And then chariot was eventually shortened to cart. Okay, so a horse-drawn cart. And that kind of transformed mechanically. And when it did, the T was dropped and car became the word to describe the automobiles that we drive now today. Speaking of which, the word motor car and auto car were both first used in 1895. And they literally meant self-propelled car. Before that, okay, the original name for the modern day car, when it started not using horses anymore and using mechanics and electronics instead, the first way we described this type of vehicle was horseless carriage. We should have just stuck with that. We should still to this day call our cars horseless carriages. That would be funny. Hey, Terry, take them balls off your horseless carriage, all right? Looks a bit douchey.
Etymology with Shauna.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So there's another Oilers 50-50 draw today. I think it opens at 9 a.m. actually. So within the next hour, you can buy your 50-50s and break some more records. I guess they actually increased the capacity of this 50-50 draw. Beckler and I were chatting about last time how they had to cap it at $5.4 million. This time, I guess it can increase to 13 point something million. So somebody could walk away with $6.5 million tonight. How insane is that? Even the Flames 50-50 got up to $1 million yesterday, I think. So this is a little bit crazy when you think about, like, what is going on with these 50-50s? Also, Edmonton, thank you. We're all gambling addicts now. I have purchased more 50-50 tickets in the past 3 days than I have in my entire life, just hoping to take a little slice of this, you know, especially as it's only open to Alberta residents. It's kind of exciting to me. I'm like, well, I feel like for some reason the chances are better because of that. I don't know if that's true, but I'm like, well, someone in this province has to win, right? Someone. Also, has anybody ever discussed the fact that the Edmonton Eskimos, who are they're renaming, okay, and they haven't quite announced what their new name is going to be yet. Has anybody thought of the Edmonton 50-50s yet? Like, seriously, we have the San Francisco 49ers. We've got the 76ers. Why not have the 50-50ers as well? Bit more of a handful in the mouth, but honestly, would anything be more fitting for Edmonton? I don't think it would. I can even picture the jersey now. On each arm of the jersey, there's just a length of raffle tickets, you know? I'll get an arm's length, please. Yeah, that's what the jersey looks like. Now introducing your Edmonton 50-50s. Yeah, I think it works. I think it's good.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I've observed that there's something going on right now. There's actually a new dance move in Calgary, and I'm seeing it all over the place. If you go to an entrance of any building that requires a mask, any public building, you're going to see this new dance move. It's called the Forgot My Mask Shuffle. Now, what it is you see people approach the door, they see the sign about the mask, and then you see them turn around angrily and storm back to their car because they realize then that they did forget their mask. We're still getting into that habit, of course, right? So everybody who's in a rush, maybe thinking about other things, trying to multitask, they're all approaching entrances of these buildings, and then they see the sign that's like, must wear a mask, and always they do the, like, shucks thing with their arm. I recently, in fact, yesterday, I witnessed a gentleman who did that, turned around, and did the shaking fist at sky maneuver when he realized he didn't have his mask. And then you do the sad shuffle back to your vehicle, right, to go pick it up if you have one, hopefully. I actually made a video to demonstrate what I'm talking about. It's up on my Instagram and Facebook and everything else. But honestly, the Forget My Mask Shuffle, hottest dance move in Calgary. If you want some entertainment this weekend, just go stand at the busy entrance of a public building and witness this happen, because people's responses are quite hilarious, really.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
So a friend of mine is a firefighter, and when I see him, I always like to ask what kind of the craziest calls he's seen lately are. He does this in the GTA, the Toronto area, and so some of the things he's seen and the stories he's told are, well, they're not for the faint of heart necessarily, but they're just fascinating to me. I don't know why. I find it all fascinating. And he was telling me recently, he didn't really have anything grotesque or gross or anything happen, but he was telling me about a call he had, and he said it was an accident, and he had arrived at this accident, and there was a gentleman who had been thrown from his motorcycle, and I guess he had a pretty severe leg injury, but he said he arrived at the scene, and we went to take a look at the man's leg. Someone had used their belt as a tourniquet to stop the bleeding of this man's leg. But there was nobody around at the time. So my friend said he arrives at the scene, he looks around, there's nobody there, but there's a man whose leg is severely broken, and he's got this tourniquet around his leg, and it actually saved his life. So this random guy, I guess, came by, saw the accident, took off his belt, and used it as a tourniquet to stop the bleeding, and then he actually saved the man's life in doing so. And then I guess he just went on his merry way to wherever he was going after saving a man's life. My friend said that if this man hadn't done that, the motorcycle, he would have died. He would have bled out. So this man, 100%, just random man, shows up and saves this man's life and then continues on to work. I picture him like, I don't know, some businessman in Toronto, and he was like, oh, well, got to get to work now. See you later. You know, he gets to work. He's a bit late. Where were you? Oh, just saved a man's life. Everything's good now, though. But my firefighting friend was then saying that 20% of traumatic injuries could actually be saved by a tourniquet. Like, if somebody were to have done that in 20% of the injuries, these people's lives would have been saved. And I'd never thought of that before. And it's really simple to do, really, if you have something that you can cinch like that. It's not a difficult process to do. It's almost one of those things that when you think about 20% of lives being saved, you almost should teach with CPR. You know, like, CPR is a basic thing that everybody learns when there are kids to hopefully save a life. Well, this is one of those other things that, if you knew to do, could save a life. And I just had never really considered that before.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I don't know if you know this, but they actually do teach you how to do a tourniquet in most first aid courses.
Because I took first aid courses and I don't recall learning it, although I guess maybe I did and it just didn't stick with me. Because, like, CPR is drilled into our heads. You know what I mean? Like, that seems like something like you learn in school. You also learn in first aid and lifeguarding and everything else. But this, I, for some reason, don't recall.
It also depends on what level of first aid as well.
Yes.
But one of the things that you need to be careful about, I don't know if you know this, with doing a tourniquet, is you actually shouldn't leave a person unattended, because you need to relieve the pressure and let some of the blood out. Otherwise, the blood in the sealed off area doesn't get any oxygen,
Right.
And you can actually cause the blood to toxify.
Interesting. And I see, I didn't know that. And obviously this guy or girl, sorry, whoever did this for this motorcyclist left for some reason. Maybe he had a reason he needed to. So this guy was just lucky. It obviously hadn't been long enough where it caused a problem. Huh.
Yeah, because that's one of the issues with a tourniquet is if there's no blood flow, then there's no oxygen going to that blood. Once it completely deoxygenates, then it just becomes poisonous to the system.
Yeah.
And when you take the tourniquet off, you can poison the body.
Wow, that makes total sense. But hell, I mean, you know, even if you don't know that and you have the option and somebody is bleeding out, I guess you'd give it a shot,
right? Absolutely.
Eh? Like,
something is always better than nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing can get you charged. Something, you're protected under the Good Samaritan's Act.
Interesting.
In Canada, you cannot be charged for trying.
That is super fascinating. What kind of first aid levels did you get to?
I took first aid level C through work, and that covers like adults and children and some other stuff. But yeah, so.
Fascinating.
There's more basic forms. The one you take for babysitting doesn't cover. How do you cover like a sucking chest wound or a tourniquet or stuff like that?
So. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that information, man. That's super good to know. And yeah, I think I may actually, this just kind of inspired me to retake a first aid kit or first aid course rather of some sort. Cause yeah, there's just stuff like that I'm like, oh, that's quite simple and it's good to know.
That is a fantastic idea. I strongly encourage everybody should get first aid because there's nothing worse than being in that situation where you're like, oh, if I knew what to do, I could do something, but I don't. So
no one wants to be in that situation for sure.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, who's this?
All right. I'm Steve.
Steve, thank you so much for the phone call, man.
Thank you. Have a great day.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Can't forget about the most important part of this radio program. It's the Friday Morning Pizza Chat.
Demma eat pizza like a gangster. A real gangster-ass pizza got them bronies. A real gangster-ass pizza got sweet banana peppers. Real gangster-ass pizza got anchovies.
I'm a big fan of that, although not of the anchovies, actually. No. This is crazy. There's a lot of pizza news. Actually, I was starting to think that we need a whole new segment called Pandemic Pizza News, because there is a ton going on right now regarding pizza, and I thought I'd just fill you in quickly about them. Customer maces man over mask dispute at pizza shop. Okay? Toronto man destroys a pizza display because a shopper reportedly wasn't in a mask. There's a bit of a correlation here between mask freakouts and pizza, apparently. Chicago tourists so desperate for deep dish pizza, they're forgoing mandatory quarantine. Okay? I mean, I can't blame them, really. Everybody desperately needs pizza, especially in a time of crisis like this, okay? And lastly, a happy pizza story. But on Wednesday, the Vegas Golden Knights actually arranged for pizza to be delivered to some homeless outside the NHL's bubble in Edmonton. So I guess a few of the players had noticed that there were quite a bit of homeless. There's quite a bit of poverty just around the area there, around Rogers Place. And they decided that they were going to do something about it. So they phoned up a local pizza place and they delivered some pizza. I guess the guys actually wanted to remain anonymous when they did it too. So nobody knows which players that were or who actually facilitated the whole thing. But pretty damn cool that they did that. So nice, happy pizza story for you on your Friday morning. But Pandemic Pizza News, it's a thing.
Everything's cool in the mind of a pizza, cause gangsta-ass pizza's always hot.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was in a public bathroom the other day, which I have to be honest, I obviously try and avoid these days, but I wasn't near my house, so it was either that or the bush. And honestly, if it was more acceptable, I'd probably choose a bush over a gas station washroom. Anyway, I used this bathroom and I was squatting and not touching anything, and then I get to the sink, and the soap, the sink says, natural, non-toxic soap. And I look at that and I was like, oh, come on. You know, pre-COVID, I'd probably see that and be like, oh, wow, this company is taking the initiative to buy natural products. Wow. And now I see that and I'm like, nope. Like, the more toxic this soap is, the better. If it doesn't burn my skin just a little bit, I don't want it. I want to see it working. It just start bubbling or something like a cauldron, you know? I wonder if natural soaps and sanitizers have actually seen a decrease in sales because of this. Because people are just like, the more chemicals, the better. Only 25 words I can't pronounce? Not enough.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was just reading about those cardboard cutouts at baseball games. Not sure if you've seen those yet. But basically, you can buy a cardboard cutout and then send in a picture of your face. And they'll print it out and stick your cardboard cutout somewhere in the stands at the baseball game. Because, of course, well, fans can't be present. So this is your way of being able to be present without actually being present. But some places have it. So if your cutout gets hit by the ball, you'll actually get sent the ball in the mail as well, which I think is hilarious. But I was reading that Joey Votto decided to buy an entire section at the game, and then he put his face on every single one of these cardboard cutouts. So a few other players are doing similar things. They're buying hundreds of these cutouts, and then, of course, the money goes to charity, so why not? And then they're putting their faces on every one. That is a great way to troll other players. Like, can players from an opposing team buy these? Because if that's the case, I would buy the cutouts down by the plate, and then I'd make all the cutouts have giant cleavage, or, like, just take pictures of my butt to post on the cutouts, you know? I wonder if they'd screen that and be like, this isn't appropriate, sir. But, you know, you're just trying to focus on swinging at that ball. There's just a giant cutout of a man's ass beside you. That would be a wee bit distracting.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
We were talking about rural properties yesterday that look terrifying. Like the ones you drive by and you're like, well, a serial killer almost certainly lives there. Or an old lady resides there who's casting spells and cursing the world or something. But I was thinking about this. Do mail carriers have to deliver mail to these places? How frightening would that be? I'd never really thought about this before as, well, in the city, you're mostly handling condo buildings or big subdivisions. But if you're a rural mail carrier, you've got to go to some pretty remote and probably pretty serial killer-esque properties, you know? Like, can you refuse delivery to those places? I know you can if there's, like, a danger involved, like the roadway isn't kept up or there's a rabid dog or something like that. But can you refuse service because a place looks serial killer-esque? I like to peruse different real estate listings here and there, and there was this old house up for sale recently, actually, and it had a not haunted in the listing. And seriously, you look at the place, and it definitely looks haunted, so that's probably a good idea. People take a look at the pictures. Nope, definitely haunted. Next. Oh, but honey, it says it's not haunted. Well, in that case, it looks quite quaint.
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.